Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the New Testament, and we are in the book of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatian church, this church which had been turned away from the person of Christ, who had been bewitched by false teachers who had come in to spy out their liberty in Christ. And the result was these Galatian Christians had been robbed of their joy and their usefulness, and instead of living for God, now they were living for themselves. And this book of Galatians, by the way, is a book every Christian ought to be pretty well established in. You take the book of Romans, where we have justification by faith set forth. In the book of Galatians, it is defended. The great issue in the Galatian church is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in his work on the cross for men and women, is that sufficient for everyone who believes in him to be fitted for the presence of God? Or do I have to add to the work of Christ by some ceremony or some work or keeping some days or whatever it may be? And the Apostle Paul starts the epistle by declaring, if we bring any other message in the gospel of the grace of God, we come under the anathema of God, the curse of God. And the Apostle Paul here in chapter 1, verse 11, running right down through chapter 2, verse 10, he defends his apostleship and his message. Now we're dealing with his defense of his apostleship, and we found in the first chapter, starting in at verse 11, he declares that the message he received from God was the gospel of the grace of God. That is, his message was of divine origin. It came from God, that God had been pleased in his sovereignty to separate Paul and to call him and to reveal his Son in him. This man was divinely equipped and divinely sent by a sovereign God. God gave him a commission. He set him on a message. He sent him on a task of bringing the gospel to the Gentile world. And again I repeat, this gospel which God gave the Apostle Paul is concerning a person, and it is not patterned after human schemes or human philosophy or human merit. It's entirely upon the grace of God. And then Paul in verses 13 to 14 declared that when he was saved, he was not only saved from his sin and from this present evil world, but he was saved from his religion. And his religion was Judaism. He was not an idolater. He was not a pagan. He knew all about Judaism. Did he not sit at the feet of Gamaliel, the great teacher in Jerusalem? And remember again, God gave to the world only one religion, and that's Judaism. But God said, or Paul said, that when he became a Christian, he was delivered from that religion. He received a life. He came into union with the living God. And not only so, but in the last two verses of the first chapter, the Apostle Paul declares that the churches in Judea, they glorified God in him. If you take those last two or three verses, in verse 22, he was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. He who persecuted the believer now was preaching the faith to which at one time he was very bitterly opposed. He opposed very, very bitterly salvation by faith, but now he preached this same delivering message which he opposed. By the way, this was true in Paul's defense. If you read the book of Acts, you remember when he stood before the Sanhedrin, or when he preached before the multitudes there in Jerusalem, and then when he stood before Felix and before Festus and before King Agrippa in chapter 24, 25, and 26 of Acts, you'll notice he insists upon the fact that God delivered him from that which he hated. He was delivered from his religion and joined to the Savior. And the result was, now they opposed him. And yet Paul says these churches down there in Judea, they were the ones who glorified God in me because of the transformation in my life by the gospel of the grace of God. Now when we come to chapter 2, and in the first 10 verses you have the Apostle Paul again continuing his defense of his apostleship, this one who had been divinely appointed, and the churches testified of the glorification of God in Paul. And now in the first 10 verses of chapter 2, he's approved by the church at Jerusalem. And I might add, if you want to read a passage in connection with this, I would suggest the 15th chapter of Acts. In the 15th chapter of Acts, which gives us some background to this, Paul and Barnabas had come back on their first missionary journey, and when they came down to Jerusalem, there were these Judaizers who sought to try and spy out the liberty Paul had in Christ, and they insisted that these Gentile Christians should be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. Now, this was the issue at Antioch. And now, at Jerusalem, Paul reverts back to Jerusalem to the history of the council there, of how God, in a wonderful way, vindicated him and Barnabas in the message which they had preached to Gentiles. Now, remember what they were trying to do, these Judaizers. They were trying to insist that the Gentile Christians be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. And James and Peter and the rest at Jerusalem, these leaders in the church, stood by Paul and Barnabas and declared that the Gentile Christians should not come under circumcision nor under Moses. As you remember, they said, Peter said, do not put these Gentile Christians under the same bondage, under that which neither we nor our fathers could bear. And he's talking there about the law of Moses, by the way. Now you come down to the first few verses of chapter 2, and allow me to read two or three verses. 14 years afterwards, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus, who was a Gentile Christian, I took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. That would be Peter, James the Just, and John. I didn't want to run in vain, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Gentile, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Now notice this. When we went up with Barnabas to Jerusalem, we took a Gentile Christian with us by the name of Titus. And when we communicated to the heads of the church, the apostles, the message which we were declaring, they did not insist upon the circumcision of Titus. They didn't insist upon the Gentiles being brought under the Mosaic economy. And you have here in verse 5, we didn't give these fellows subjection, not for an hour. We give them no place, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And those who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. That is, those who were leaders in the church at Jerusalem couldn't teach me anything on the gospel. And then I read in verse 7, but just the other way around. Just the other way around, instead of them teaching me, says Paul, I had to teach them the gospel of the grace of God. Now you go to Peter's epistle. Peter brings this up in his epistle, speaking of the apostle Paul. Contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, that is the gospel of the Gentiles, was committed to me as the gospel of the Jews was unto Peter. For God who wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the Jews, or the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the Gentiles, and they would go unto the Jews. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was very forward to do. Now they're reverting back here, I repeat it, to Acts chapter 15, the first great council of the Christian church held in Jerusalem. And the leaders of the church confirmed the message which Paul had brought, the message which Paul had preached to the Gentiles. Now remember, this is what he's doing. He is defending his apostleship. In chapter 1, he declared his apostleship, his message was from God. He was sent by God, and his message was from God. It came by revelation from God. And the churches in Judea rejoiced in the fact that he who once persecuted the church of Christ now defended the very message which he opposed. And then in chapter 2, they didn't insist upon Titus the Gentile being circumcised, and then Peter and James and John. Now this is James the Just, James the brother of Jesus. You remember James the apostle was beheaded in the book of Acts, chapter 12, where James the brother of John was beheaded, the first martyr among the apostles. Now this is James who writes the book of James. So these were the leaders of the church at Jerusalem. These were the ones at the head of the whole thing. James the Just and Peter and John. And they shook hands with Paul and they confirmed the message which he had given and confirmed his apostleship. Now this leads me, when you come to verse 11 of chapter 2, to the end of the passage where Paul defends his message. And I wish you could read this because this is a tremendous passage of Scripture. And the argument is so wonderful, it's so precious, and yet, my friend, it's so real and so true. I wish in some way I could get God's people to read their Bibles. I wish you could read this book of Galatians through over and over again. They're just 6 chapters. It would get into your heart. It would get into your mind. It would be a part of your very being. That the salvation we have is complete and perfect and eternal because we have a Christ who is absolutely sufficient in his person and work for his people. Now you read the book, and we'll continue our studies in Galatians in our next lesson, and the Lord bless you for his name's sake.